Hello, and welcome to another podcast from Prepared Foods. I'm editor Bob Garrison, and today we're diving into sugar reduction, which is one of our six power trend categories. Today, we're looking specifically at sugar reduction in beverages, and I'm joined by an expert, Lindsay Wisner. Lindsay is the owner and principal at WiseBev, a beverage development consultancy specializing in bringing to life better-for-you beverages. Welcome, Lindsay.
Hi, Bob. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you for your time. Hey, what beverage categories have been most active when it comes to sugar reduction?
Well, I think we really see sugar reduction in every category. I don't know that there's one that's not trying it in some way, but I do think that of special note, definitely the better for you soda category. I mean, a category that's typically very heavy in sugar. And I think what's interesting about that category is that there are so many different approaches to sugar reduction within that category. And I think the other category is really in the alternative protein space. So whether that's a protein shake or an alternate milk, I think we're seeing that really come around. You know, those are harder products to make a sweetness profile that, you know, kind of makes sense to us because of the protein being different than what most of us probably yeah. Earlier, you know, younger generations, probably aside, are more used to alternative milks, but it's a hard one to get right, sugar-free, because it is so different to us, and we are trying to work on, you know, masking some of the other flavors.
Yeah, so my follow-up question was going to be, looking back on 2022, were there one or two particular segments that made inroads with sugar reduction? And so you have just named two of those. Was there anything else that would come to mind with that question?
Yeah, I mean, I think with that one, the one that really stood out to me, and this, they may have been a launch in 2021, but I think, you know, from a gaining traction standpoint as a startup, they really gained a lot of traction in 2022. And that was Slate Milk, which is a high protein. It is a dairy-based protein shake, so I believe it's about 20 grams of protein based on ultra-filtered milk, which, you know, in and of itself makes it different. But from a sweetener perspective, they actually utilized allulose, and if you've tried that product, they utilized it very well. And I think the reason I would choose that one as noteworthy is because, yes, we've all seen allulose, and it's been around. But there's been some challenges to using it. One of those things is, of course, cost. This is definitely positioned as a premium product. So, you know, it made sense for that product to be able to use it. But then also the you know, consumer perception of allulose, right? So we've got this situation where it's labeling as a carbohydrate, but it's not contributing as many calories as a traditional carbohydrate. And so there's that bit of disconnect. So I think seeing a startup brand take that and, you know, run with it and have success is good, and really kind of paves the way for the use of allulose later down the line.
Once again, the name of that milk was what?
Slate Milk.
Slate. Okay.
Yeah. It's all chocolate. The different, I think there's like an espresso and like a milk chocolate and a dark chocolate, something like that. Excellent product.
Okay. So let's dive in. So you've referenced allulose. Let's dive into some of the ingredients in the toolbox. You know, it certainly feels as though sweetener ingredient options are multiplying quickly. Overall, what were some noteworthy new sweeteners that emerged or truly stood out last year, and why?
Yeah. So, I would say for one thing, the term sweetener is getting a little bit more, you know, varied in terms of what's a sweetener, right? And what's driving the use of that term. But of course, for sure, you know, put allulose on the list. I think we're going to continue to see that as we get more consumer acceptance and, you know, find products where we can use that. And then, of course, the evolving stevia market, which just seems like there's a new stevia coming out all the time.
Right.
And so you're always trying to find like the latest one that maybe has the least aftertaste or kind of works the best in your product. So I think for something that I would consider truly a sweetener, probably those two.
And I also wanted to turn this question just a little bit and ask if there have been any in advances in other types of ingredients and or strategic thinking that have otherwise kind of changed the way you formulate a sugar reduced beverage. And I guess I'm talking about like the interplay with other ingredients, such as, you know, proteins, gums, stabilizers, maskers, or flavors, anything along those lines.
Right. I think this is the area where there is a lot of change. It just kind of keeps coming. So, you know, FMPs, you know, flavors with modifying properties are where I think we're going to see a lot of advancement to some of our sugar reduction issues, you know, not just necessarily about enhancing the perception of sweetness, but also the profile. So, you know, trying to get that profile to be more sugar-like, blocking some of the bitter notes that we get at the end with high intensity sweeteners, are things that are, there's just so many that it's, you know, hard to keep up with. And a lot of companies doing really great work in this area. And then I think, you know, the technology behind this, like you said, as it pertains to other ingredients, is really looking at this as how we perceive sweetness as a whole. So not necessarily just the sweetness profile, but, you know, how fast are we able to, you know, realize that it's sweet, and how fast are, you know, are we able to get that onset to get to be more like sugar, and how can we get rid of those lingering notes that are clearly not sugar-like, but doing it in a way that we don't also kind of tame down the flavor that we want to get. And so there are a lot of ingredients in this area, and really just countless combinations that, you know, somebody in beverage applications can use to really create that desired effect in their beverage application.
Okay. So Lindsay, here's something of a follow-up. Some boutique beverage makers are leaning more toward kind of lessening the amount of caloric sweeteners as opposed to replacing them, or relying on sweetness from sources such as fruit extracts, such as those from berries, apples, grapes, or carob. Any thoughts on the advantages or disadvantages of this approach?
Well, I think personally, I like this approach as the applications person, because you're still getting some of that sugar profile that we've talked about, and then really just enhancing that with some type of non-caloric, you know, sweetener, whether that's stevia, monk fruit, or one of another high intensity option. So personally, I like that as a strategy for these brands, because I think, you know, in the end, taste is always going to win. And as we know, it's sugar is hard to beat. I think that the challenge is, like you said, a lot of those sources are fruit extracts, which, you know, can be expensive, may not be as heat stable as we'd like to see them be. And maybe, you know, in some cases are maybe not as readily available and or can be a little bit expensive. So I think you kind of have to offset that with the fact that, you know, these brands are coming at it from as healthy of a source of sugar as we can get, but knowing that that comes at a premium too.
Yeah. Okay, so I know that you had referenced in the other question about kind of what's coming, and I simply wanted to end today by just kind of asking what you think is next for beverage sugar reduction in 2023. You know, what challenges remain, or where is there room kind of for continued opportunity? And, you know, what do you think beverage formulators should be thinking about or planning for in regard to their projects in this area?
Yeah. So, I mean, I think, you know, there's continued research on natural sweeteners. And so I'm sure we'll see some, you know, research come through that's got some new source of a sweetener. But you know, that's probably a little bit ways out from those of us in applications to go in and put into a product going to market. So I really think that where you know, applications, beverage applications, people need to be looking is at this FMP space, at the modifier space. I think that the technology around how we actually perceive taste and the way that we can help that increase the perception of sweetness is going to be where we're headed. And I think, you know, it's still the holy grail, which is trying to get this sugar profile without sugar or with less sugar, but also not compromising on the impact of the flavor that you want to come through. And right. I think that's where we're headed this year.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Well said. Well said. Hey, anyone looking to connect with Lindsay can reach her at wisebev.com. So this has been another podcast from Prepared Foods. Again, I'm glad that you joined us. I'm editor Bob Garrison, and please come back and listen to our next podcast. Thank you.